All right, so today we get to talk about, I think it was noted as Timotheus, but Timothy. Timothy's name means honoring God or precious to God. These two designations prove to be true in the life of this disciple. From an early age, Timothy put his faith in the Lord. In Acts 16, verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. And then 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy grew up in an environment that was distinctively character-forming. It proved to be ideal for someone who was to be one of Paul's troubleshooters among the largely Gentile congregations of Greece and Asia Minor. By the time Paul was made a return trip to Lystra, Timothy had developed sufficient leadership potential. Paul was impressed by several character qualities in Timothy. This included his knowledge of Judaism and Hebrew scriptures, his Gentile connections through his Greek father, and Timothy's reputation. He was active and faithful in the truth. In the years that followed, Timothy became one of Paul's trusted partners in addressing problems, including those occurring in Corinth. When the apostle wrote 1 Corinthians, he had already begun his three-year mission to Ephesus. By now, Timothy had been associated with Paul for about 7 years and was one of the apostles' leading troubleshooters. While in Corinth, Timothy reminded his fellow believers there about Paul's godly lifestyle. Timothy also reiterated to them in the same spiritual truths the apostle taught to all the ecclesias he visited on his various journeys. Timothy's heart for ministry put him in an honored position among his brethren. No other person shared the apostle's deep love for the Philippians and was devoted to serve in an unselfish manner. Paul's glowing report about Timothy reminded the disciples of his unsullied character and faithfulness. Paul regarded Timothy as his son in the faith. The Greek noun could also be rendered child and denotes Paul's strong personal affection for Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. Indeed, the apostle cared for Timothy as godly parents would love their own children. Paul gave Timothy a sacred trust to keep the gospel pure from contamination. In 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 15, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Mediate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy dealt with a series of conflicts involving the opponents of the gospel. Against this sobering backdrop, he attended to his inner spiritual condition by holding firmly to his faith and keeping his conscience clear. Because the religious frauds had neglected these areas, they had fallen into serious error. In contrast, Timothy paid close attention to these matters, particularly as he contended for the faith and sought to teach others the truth. Timothy's spiritual life and ministry were his continual concern. This is why Paul wanted his protege to give undivided attention to the issues at hand. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. The apostle's directive suggests that Timothy undertook his ministerial responsibilities carefully and absorbed himself in them as a result of giving himself wholeheartedly to his work. Others recognized Timothy's progress in the faith. Timothy was careful about how he lived and what he taught. This included being persistent in attending to his duties. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. The apostle had given Timothy sound instruction, and now it was up to him to remain loyal to the truth in both his life and ministry, as someone called upon to uphold the gospel in the midst of false teaching. It was crucial for Timothy to guard his thoughts and feelings. A failure would hurt both him and the cause in the ecclesias around Ephesus. In seeking to set a good example, he abstained from wine, but in chapter 5, verse 23, it refers to drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Paul, however, let Timothy know that keeping pure did not include jeopardizing his health, and so encouraged him to drink a little wine for his stomach. Luke, Paul's traveling companion, may have advised the apostle in this manner. Pure drinking water wasn't readily available in those days. Wine would have been safer to drink, especially for someone who was sick. As a man of God, in chapter 6, verse 11, we read, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and allow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Timothy had yielded to the Lord. For this reason, Paul urged Timothy to shun all enticements to seize worldly riches and power. Instead, he was to diligently fight the battle for the truth against false teachers at Ephesus. Timothy was also to affirm through his actions the vow of allegiance to the Savior he had made in the presence of many witnesses earlier at his baptism. Paul wanted Timothy to be fearless in service as well as confident of God's power and love. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The apostle also wanted his spiritual son to follow God's call through to the end. Paul knew that Timothy's commitment to serve had been severely tested by false teachers. They especially challenged his role in the ecclesia. The apostle also knew that Timothy would face ongoing adversity as he sought to fulfill his responsibilities. Paul exhorted Timothy not to be ashamed to speak for the Lord, just as we shouldn't be ashamed to preach as we do. Likewise, Timothy was not to be ashamed of Paul, who was imprisoned a second time for his proclamation of the gospel. In the face of antagonism, Timothy was to join with Paul in suffering for the sake of the good news. Timothy trusted God to give him the strength to do what was right. This was the same Lord who had redeemed him from sin and judgment. God had also summoned Timothy called him to the truth and to live morally and purely. Timothy had a wonderful spiritual heritage and many opportunities to boldly declare the message of truth. So Paul directed Timothy to remain faithful to the gospel and its proclamation. He could do so by holding fast the standard or pattern of sound teaching he had received from the apostle. Verse 13, we read, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And another aspect that we should follow is Timothy was to proclaim the good news in faith and in love. Timothy was also to obey the gospel and safeguard it against attack. He was to do so through the power of the Spirit. Verse 14, that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy had a hesitant, reserved personality. Paul, realizing this, directed Timothy to be spiritually strong. The grace of the Father that was available to all who believed in the Son. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was to entrust the truths of the faith to dependable believers. This pointed to the central role of discipleship in Timothy's ongoing work in the truth. Paul's exhortation to his spiritual child was prompted by the fact that false teachers were trying to distort the doctrines of the faith. Over the years of their collaboration together, Paul had taught Timothy many truths. In the face of stiff opposition, the apostle urged Timothy to remain faithful to those truths. Since these teachings had come from such a trustworthy minister as Paul, Timothy had the utmost confidence in their reliability. During his childhood, his mother and grandmother taught him God's word, which we had read earlier. So Timothy instinctively knew that the message Paul proclaimed was consistent with the scripture. In fact, the latter had given Timothy the wisdom that eventually led him in his walk in the truth. Timothy's primary responsibility was to herald the gospel. He was to be ready and willing at all times. And he was encouraged to exercise great patience, especially as he carefully taught others the truths. Paul instructed Timothy to remain calm and patiently endure affliction. He was also to focus on his calling. As long as Timothy did the work, he would fulfill his God-given duties. Timothy's enduring legacy was that of faithful service. On the one hand, his background in Judaism made him useful to Paul in places such as Thessalonica. On the other hand, Timothy spent time with Paul on his numerous adventures. Timothy even accompanied Paul and several other associates to Jerusalem. With a love offering to ease their situation. Throughout the remainder of Timothy's life, he never wavered as a disciple of Jesus. Even when Timothy was imprisoned for a time, he remained true to his calling. There's just a few things that we can definitely take in for ourselves. The arc of Timothy's existence brought honor to God. Likewise, glorifying the Lord should be the prime concern of our earthly sojourn. Timothy's entire life centered on a mission of discipleship. It involved his grandmother, mother, and Paul, among others. This truth reminds us of how much we benefit from the mentorship of others in our life. We also recognize that God wants us to encourage others. Timothy met Paul during his work in the truth. We rarely know what might become of the seemingly chance meetings we have with people. God opens doors for us through the people we meet and the circumstances we encounter. So that's not just with people in the truth, but also people in the world might open up opportunities or give us chances to either improve ourselves or help them or spread the truth. Many different opportunities come up. Paul's proclamation of the gospel was a major turning point in Timothy's life. Consider how the heralding of good news has impacted you. We also have to take into account on how what we do in the truth can also impact those that are lost, or those that need help. It was Timothy's honorable reputation that endeared him to Paul's heart. There's times when we see young people in the truth that have a noteworthy character that we want to include in our lives or our lives in the truth. And while they're young, they should realize the opportunities that they have that may make them different or give them an ability that's different than others around them. It took time in distinctive environments for Timothy to mature and become spiritually effective. Similarly, our path to maturity and increasing spiritual effectiveness does not take place all at once. Instead, the process of spiritual growth occurs in differing circumstances involving numerous people over many years. And those are things we can notice from those around us who've been in the truth for who knows how many years, and they can turn around and say, I never thought about it that way. And you might be someone who's had a mere fraction of the time they've had in the truth, and you come up with an idea that they really grasp. Timothy was a unique disciple with distinctive character qualities. The same can be said about us. While we are all united in our faith, this does not mean we become clones of one another. Rather, the Spirit can use our personal knowledge, deepening faith, and innate aptitudes to make us, to make a difference, not just in the world, but in anywhere, whether it's in the truth or how we are at work. Can make a difference of how we are as an example. Timothy partnered with others, such as Paul and Silas, in the ministry of the gospel. This contrasts sharply with society's go-it-alone attitude, a mindset that we are all too often plagued with today. The Spirit calls us to work with other brethren in bringing the lost back to us and helping those around us or those that might be new to the truth continue with their walk in the truth. When appropriate, Timothy was willing to accommodate the needs and preferences of others. From this, we see that being obstinate is not the same as tenacity. Likewise, rigidness should not be mistaken for single-mindedness. The Spirit can enable us to discern these important distinctions, with the result that we avoid creating unnecessary barriers to the proclamation and acceptance of the word. I think that's something that Steve has brought up rather often, not just in class or any of his Sunday schools, but just the idea of sometimes the majority, I forget how he said it, which is sometimes we'll have to put our need aside if it has a greater effect for the ecclesia. It doesn't mean our idea is wrong, but at that moment it might be better to just go with the way things are, because there might be a reason that a lot of people feel differently. And it may come back around to your initial idea, but at that time, sometimes it's better to set aside your own wants, because it may not be, it ultimately may not be what God wants. The Spirit enabled Timothy to overcome his apprehensive disposition. In similar fashion, when we rely on the Spirit, we have the ability to be courageous in dealing with challenging and long-standing problems in diverse settings. Timothy affirmed that other believers such as Paul were noteworthy examples of Christ-likeness. In our discipleship, we can encourage younger people by pointing them to the character modeled by others in the truth, or just as much character of Christ. These could be believers within our own ecclesia, as well within the worldwide ecclesial body of Christ. So not only is the ultimate the example of Christ, but having others around you that are fitting examples of being Christ-like. Not just this person is a nice person, so they're a good example because they're a good person. Well, it's, you can't be that simple just to make it easy for them to understand. It still has to be held to the truth. That's one thing I've thought of even more of, is there's a lot of times you want to say a person is good, but God's the only one that's good. So you can say people are decent people in the world, but you can't even use good. You think of it as, yeah, this is a good person, but if you really look into it, good isn't, can't call anyone good. Because nobody's really good, ultimately. Depends on what they do with that, but there's always improvements. And this ties in with a few things like that. Timothy served the ecclesia in an unselfish manner. In our contemporary culture, there is the temptation to make ourselves, or our contemporary narcissistic culture, there is the temptation to make ourselves the center of our own endeavors. We must consciously resist this trap, remembering that the proclamation of the gospel and the edification is intended to bring glory to God. Timothy's relationship with Paul was characterized by mutual respect and trust, along with commitment and compassion. These are the same virtues that should typify how we relate to our fellow brethren. It means the roots of our spiritual lives are planted deeply in this mutually affirming soil. As a result, we will be better prepared to deal forthrightly with serious threats that spring up. Paul encouraged Timothy to remain faithful to his spiritual call and duties. The Spirit has also summoned us to a life of devoted service to our Heavenly Father. Whether in an ordained or a lay capacity, this includes to tending to our inner spiritual needs, as well as being attentive to the concern of other followers around us. It is a lifelong endeavor that requires our active involvement. Timothy was effective because he remained committed to the gospel. From this, we recognize that the truth of the faith are consequential. Indeed, matters of eternal importance are at stake. And if we fail to uphold what our purpose is, then there's a lot of things that are affected by it. Timothy was careful to set a good example. We too are to be persons dedicated to the truth. As such, we are to guard our thoughts and feelings. To do otherwise risks hurting both ourselves and those around us. That's another way we can, not just in the truth, but it seems to be more obvious being at work. Because how else can we be an example if we just act the same way everybody else does around us? I mean, it's real easy to just kind of go with it and react the same way so you don't stand out completely, but at the same time, when you stand to a certain protocol long enough, people do, even if they don't come out and say, oh, you're so different, that's great, they still recognize it. You may think they hate you or want to ignore you, but they still recognize there's something a bit different, and over time, some people end up respecting you for it, which seems odd because everything just seems so negative. Everybody's so quick to bring it down, but when you just ignore it as words, it can tend to make it easier. Ultimately, Timothy was accountable to God for his actions. In the same way, the Lord holds us responsible for what we think, say, and do. This truth can serve as an incentive for us to be faithful and to encourage us to hold the time, talents, and everything that the Spirit provides for us. And this is another aspect that can really apply to our lives, is that God's power and love in Timothy's life enabled him to be fearless in his service. The Lord also promises to be with us as we are courageous in sharing the good news with others. It seems like another aspect that's kind of hard for us to just accept. You know, we always want a reaction or something right now to see that something is changing, but when you put that more toward God and his love and his care and that it's his will, I mean, it takes a long time to be able to accept just that, but it's one thing I've really appreciated in my life is you notice when God is working in your life when you're focused on what he wants. And if you see something change dramatically, even if it has nothing to do directly with you, there's plenty of times if something comes up that makes me think for a minute, like, okay, what's coming up now. There has to be something. Or if things seem to be going perfectly or really good, it's always in the back of my mind that something might come up. Because there's always something. You can't just be sidetracked with, today was a good day. Yes, it's encouraging, but there's always going to be something. And using his love and whatever God gives you to encourage you, not being something, not using the care or love of others around you as directly as taking in what God gives you. Because you can be too distracted of what others around you think. Or, oh, so-and-so doesn't seem to care. Or you can get really distracted by that, because that's our natural thing, is to worry about everybody around us. But when you focus it on God, it really makes dealing with those uncertainties of everybody around us a lot easier to deal with if you really commit to it. You can say it and feel it, and you can notice it one or two times, but if you don't constantly go with that, you're not going to notice it. Timothy did not regret investing his life in disciplining, or not disciplining, but being a disciple to others. His example encourages us to never be embarrassed by our association with the truth or with Christ, even when it seems unpopular or disadvantageous. Jesus invites us, his disciples, to join with others in experiencing adversity if necessary for the sake of the gospel. Another example is entrusting God with every aspect of our lives, which Timothy did. We can do the same, for we know that God is in control. And another aspect in our preaching efforts is not to, as Timothy refused to become sidetracked by dead-end philosophical issues, we shouldn't be distracted by pointless matters that consume the attention of those in the world. All the aspects that they look at of church or God or the Pope or anything like that, there's certain things that we can't just, there's certain points where there is nothing we can say that's going to change somebody's thoughts. There are certain times where, as long as we've made an effort, and then you put it in God's hands, that's when you know, all right, time to move on. And there's a lot of times where it's just an example that is needed, not so much words or combative words. The Spirit can empower us to remain calm and patient as we shoulder our important but often difficult responsibilities. Toward the end of Paul's life, he recalled the simple purity of Timothy's faith. In all of our experiences, including the success and failures, we should remember that what happened to us at the beginning is what endures to the end. In all of our maturity, we can never go deeper than genuine faith in our Heavenly Father. And that last point, that's something that we want to think about too, is what kind of, it's not for our own personal desire or feel good, but what kind of an example, how will we be talked about when we're gone? How will we be remembered? Was it for something truthful? Is it an example that God would be pleased with? Or was it simply, they did a lot, they were an okay person? I mean, was there anything that stands out as what we did in the truth, or you just remembered as being decent in the truth, But that's pretty much all I have.